There's a rumor going around, Rocky, that you were seen at young Zachy Butters' house taking his skateboard. Any truth to that?
There's a false accusation floating around that Zach's skateboard was stolen from me.
They bleed teal, white and black and talk everything Port. You're listening to The Rock Pod with Tom Rockcliffe.
Rockcliffe, he walks in. Rocky gives it to him.
And Ditts.
Towards centre wing. A Lear up high. Takes the mark.
The Rock Pod on Triple M.
I've been here 10 years. You've been here 1 minute and we get The Rock Pod. Are you serious?
I'm the man of the hour.
According to who?
To me.
How are you, Rocky?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks. How are you, Ditts?
Yeah, good, mate. Gee, very, very excited. I am so pumped. It's unbelievable.
Ah, what a week. What a cracking day that Adelaide's produced out there. We've done the captain's run this morning at Adelaide Oval, and the boys are up and about and can't wait for tomorrow night.
All right, so much to talk about. Darcy Byrne-Jones is going to join us here on the Rock Pod, which is very, very exciting. I just want to go back a couple of weeks when our boys took on the Western Bulldogs. Only just got over the line, but without getting ahead of myself or ourselves, gee, we could have won by 6 or 7 that night. We had 1 goal 8 or 9 at halftime, didn't kick well, but when we grabbed hold of the game, we just dominated.
Yeah, we did. We felt like we were the better team on the night, and we got the win in the end only by 3 or 2 or 3 points. But in saying that, you did touch on, we missed our opportunities. They got away from us in the first sort of 10 minutes, kicked 4 or 5 goals and, yep, and built that gap, and we just couldn't get the scoreboard pressure back our way. But most of the stats suggested that we were on top in that. And the defence for us has been outstanding in the second half of the year. I touched on Brent Montgomery a little bit this week in a few interviews, but since he's come to the club, you can have a look at our team defence and how much that's shifted. And the scores that we give up, I don't think a team's kicked much more than 10 goals in the second half of the year against us. So if we bring that mindset and get that done, it goes a long way to us winning the game.
Well, he was a good defender. He's a best and fairest on the halfback flank, a very courageous halfback flanker. So just talking about that defence, the other thing that happened at Marvel that night against the Bulldogs is that when they dictated, gee, they were accurate. Their pinpoint passing in the first half, well, we just couldn't get the ball off them. They're very good at it, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're halfbacks, Bailey Dale, Caleb Daniels. They're elite by foot, and they're midfield as well. Bontempelli, McRae, Hunter. You let them get on the outside around the contest, that they're going to hit their targets. And that night, they were able to chip their way through a few times and draw up our defence. But I think we've gone to work on it this week to make sure that we limit their marks, try and force them to that long high ball, which favours us with Alir, Shanders.
Shanders?
Better known as Chandelier.
Tell me about Chandelier.
Chandelier.
That's a bit too clever for Port Adelaide. That's a clever nickname.
Well, I think it might have been Monty that came up with that
as
well.
Is that right?
So he might make a good senior coach one day. And then Jonas, McKenzie, and then we get our running players off that. So I think if we can force them to that long ball, it favours us in the air.
Yeah. That's up there with Chris Natt, who you won't know, but Chris Natt was a ruckman for Port Adelaide when I was a kid, and Chris Natt became Natty. Everyone called him Natty, so then he became Cincer. Cincinnati. So that was his nickname. So that's similar to Chandelier, isn't it?
Yes.
Anyway, so now that I've bored you with that, let's move on. Georgiades, a real shame that he hasn't come up. If he did come up, it was going to be the big selection dilemma. But, yeah, just a shame. Tell us about where he's at.
Yeah, he couldn't get through training on Tuesday. He trained Tuesday, didn't feel 100%, and then couldn't complete training on Thursday. So he sort of, it's not worth the risk. He has a little bit of pain there, still in that hamstring, doesn't feel like he can go 100%. He can probably go 90%, but as you know, prelim final, you don't want to have someone out there at 90%. The game's too hard to do that.
All right, we'll talk more about selection in just a moment for both sides because, gee, there's some real interest in the Western Bulldogs lineup. You say about the captain's run this morning. Tell us about it. How hard was it? Was everyone out there? So is Hartlett training, you know, all of these other boys, Lockie Jones? Tell us about the session.
So we had the squad, so a squad of 26. Obviously, the selected 22, Pau Pepper, Cleary, Leanett and Mays there. And it's one of those sessions where you do as much as you want to do. They run one drill for 10 minutes. There's a group of probably 8 or 10 that me and Chad Corns take on the side. We just walk a lap and take the mickey out of each other pretty much.
Yeah,
so
right.
We play handball games and different stuff just to get the guys going and feel, make sure their bodies feel good. So it's the older guys, Robbie, Travis Boak, Charlie Dixon, and a few guys that have had injury concerns in the past. So they don't do too much.
Yep.
And then the other guys do a 10-minute drill, just a kick around, and then we do a little bit of structure stuff out on the carpet, but not too much. It's pretty. We had our main session yesterday, so today's sort of just get the body moving, be ready to go tomorrow night.
I find there's so many things to talk about here. You're in the inner sanctum. I want to ask you so much. But, I mean, clearly you're an important part of it because you've played with all of these boys up until recently, and so you're involved, which is great. But I get the feeling someone like Chad Corns is a bit of a, I don't know if barometer is the right word, but we know just how passionate he always was about showdowns, about finals. The day we won the grand final, he was front and centre. Yeah, what's he like when you're out there, you know, in a training session like today?
Yeah, training session today. He's actually the one we go after because he the boys target him because a bit older, it's a bit harder for him to bend over. So he played fumbles games and stuff like that. So he's got a target on his back. He's pretty casual up until the bounce. Once the game starts and the build up to the game, he's really good with the players, making sure that they get up. He does all the tackling pre-game to get him in the mood to go out there. And then he runs the messages out there, obviously, but he gets up and about and makes sure that the boys are on. And he's a great motivator like that, and he's a real asset to have, particularly as a runner, to get out there and get around the playing group.
All right, tell me about the tough stories. I really feel for Tom Cleary right now, who hasn't done anything wrong except he got injured at the wrong time, and then McKenzie's played really well. How's Tom Cleary going?
Yeah, obviously disappointed not to be playing, but he's accepted it pretty well. As best you can. I think he sort of foresee that it was going to be this way. He was in the team at the start of the year. Trent didn't do much of a pre-season. Klaus unfortunately broke his jaw. Trent came in, played really good footy. Hasn't been really given an opportunity since then because it's such a solid and sound defence. So the good thing for us, selfishly, is that we've got probably 30 players that could easily go out there and play.
Yep.
But for these guys that are on the borderline and not playing, I mean, Sam Mays has been in the team 8 or 9 times as sub this year. Pau Pepper's been in most of the year. Leanett's had exposure as well. So it's really hard for those guys that are there, but they understand the role that they've got to play, and they're a much a part of it tomorrow night. They're all in the lead up and the preparation. They're there. They're making sure that they're out there training hard so that the playing 22 or 23 end up out there and performing. So their role during the week is really important to make sure that we train well. And as you know, if we get through and win, injuries happen in footy. So they know they have to be ready to go. And unfortunately for those guys, and you talked about Klaus, it is disappointing for him. We know that he could step in and play his role exceptionally well. He's done it in the past. He's kept Hawkins markless time. So I'm sure he'll get a chance. But unfortunately at the moment, he's not in that team. And it's no real fault of his own. He'd probably play in 17 other teams.
Mm. Yeah, very, very sad indeed. All right, let's look at the lineup as far as the Bulldogs are concerned. Keith out of defence with a hamstring injury. What does that do to the way your boys go into it? Anything? Do you change much? I mean, that's a big out.
It's a big out. He normally goes to Charlie, so it'll be interesting to see the way they line up down there. Who goes to Charlie? Does Cordy go to him? What does it look like? So it is going to be interesting. They're probably a little bit undersized now. We've got 3 talls down there with Marshall, Laddams and Dixon. So how they line up down there will be interesting, but it won't change too much for us. We know we want to play the way we play. We've got our 3 talls, and then we've got so many abundance of talent at ground level. So if they're not marking it, they generally bring it to ground and bring our smalls into it. So it's going to be a great contest. I just want to get it started. I feel like I want to jump through the microphone and get going, but I think it's exciting for us. Disappointing for them that Keith goes out. Bontempelli's there. There's sort of a cloud over him. Do we know what's going to happen there?
All right, let's hear from their coach, Luke Beveridge.
We're really hopeful that he's going to be okay. And if he isn't, then we're just going to have to spread the load and fulfil his role with someone else and believe we can get the job done.
Now, you can read all sorts of things into that, or you can just say, is he really smart, Luke Beveridge, and playing ducks and drakes? But for a coach to say, but if he isn't, you know, we'll cater for that. Well, don't you just come out and say there is nothing wrong with Bontempelli? What do you read into that?
Yeah, it might be our Port Adelaide hearts and heads reading into that and hoping that he doesn't play. He's one of the best players in the competition.
Yeah, but shouldn't he just say, no, there's no worry. Yeah. I mean, he's playing and he's super fit.
It could be mind games. We've seen it in the past, particularly around this time of year. The coaches start to go coy and don't give away too much. So he might be playing mind games, but from that audio, that's the first time I've heard that. He didn't sound too confident that he'll play.
I thought it was a strange thing to say. I really did. And Luke, he's overestimating Port Adelaide people because we don't think that much. So, you know, if he's trying to play mind games, he's bloody he's not dealing with masterminds here. I mean, let's be honest. Stephen Martin comes in. I find this real interesting. Now, Rocky, as you know from my background, I mean, you know, whether you're playing badminton or playing football, if at this level, when you're playing at the world-class level, if you are not match fit, you're stuffed 5 minutes into it. And I think Stephen Martin, I could be wrong, but in a prelim final, at the 10-minute mark of the first quarter, he could be breathing through his ears. I mean, he could be stuffed.
We hope so. He's a giant. He's an ultimate professional. I obviously played with him at Brisbane, so he's going to give himself every opportunity. But to not play any footy from round 12, particularly senior footy, and then step into a prelim, I think it's a huge ask on him. He'll probably play around 50-55% of game time, so he won't be out there a lot. But
so what will they do? Does English have to go into the ruck? Because Beveridge kept saying he doesn't want to put English into the ruck, but he might have to.
I think he's going to have to. It depends. We've seen different looks from the Bulldogs in the past where they might ruck a midfielder, a Bontempelli or someone like that.
Yep.
Or Dunkley, I think, has taken the ruck in the past. So it's a bit like Richmond from years ago where they just threw a mid in there to take the ruck and try and run off their legs. But I think it can be something that where we can get a huge advantage if our ruckmen get going. I think Scott Lysette's been in great form. So looking forward to him and Pete Laddams to come in there and pinch hit. So there's no doubt that it's going to be hard on Steph I'm not sure. Yeah, it's a huge ask to come into a prelim final after not playing much footy, if any. I'm not sure whether they've played at all in the reserves. He might have played a mock 15 on 15 or something like that. Yeah. So I spoke to him last week in the lead up to the Brisbane game, and he said his groins were a bit sore. So I'm not sure how he will go. But hopefully for us that he goes out there and look, we want to just go about our business, so it won't worry us too much. And as I said, our ruckmen are in pretty good form.
All right. Caleb Daniel was an interesting player for me. Now, you look at him, he's the smallest bloke in the entire league, and you think, why would you worry about him? But he just keeps getting the footy. Do we send one of our small forwards to him as a lockdown? I mean, we want our forwards to be attacking, but do we need to worry about him? Because he does use the ball so well.
We certainly have to be worried about him. We won't send anyone to a defensive role unless he gets off the chain and is having a huge influence on the outcome of the game. But, I mean, who's he going to go to? Is he going to go to Butters? Is he going to go to Fantasia? Is he going to go to Rosie? Is he going to go to Gray? Is he going to go to Motlop? So he'll probably play on the highest forward. So it's about that highest forward staying engaged with him, not giving him the time and space that he desires off the back of the stoppage to run and carry through the mid and use his foot skills, as you touched on before at the start of last time we played him. So it's important that we are accountable for him around that, but also when we got our opportunity, make him defend the other way. So the guys that I just mentioned have an ability to get up and down the ground, and when they're going back to goal, they're pretty hard to chase. So if we can get that as an advantage for us, if we lose the stoppage and it goes forward for the Bulldogs and we can get a turnover, hopefully we can turn him around and run him back to goals.
All right, Rocky, it's been a fantastic insight. We've got a man on the line now who's going to be right in the thick of it. The man across halfback in defence. He's so important, Darcy Byrne-Jones.
G'day, Darcy.
G'day, Tom. Ditz, how you going?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Now, you had the captain's run this morning. How are you spending the rest of the day? How are you relaxed today and tomorrow?
Not too much, to be honest. Might take the dog for a walk. I just had the NFL on today, so watching some of that and just relaxing and taking it easy, really. The weather's beautiful, so
yeah.
Might get outside.
All right, these are all the hard-hitting, important questions. What sort of dog have you got? What's his name or her name?
I've got a golden retriever named George.
And who's George? Who's he named after?
George Costanza.
I thought so. Yeah, George Costanza. All right. So he's an annoying little turd then, right?
Yeah, with a bald head.
Excuse me. Do you speak Chinese?
Chinese? Yeah.
Oh, look, I'm on with Beijing at the Hair Restoration Clinic. Could you talk to them for me and tell them I'd like to place an order?
Wait. Oh, yeah. Wang Shenzhen.
That's right. Now, Das, I had Ditz asking me what side of the train tracks do you come from. You're a private school boy?
Yeah, private school boy, Scotch College in Melbourne.
You've got to be very joking. Proud. See, I wouldn't have picked that because you're a socks-down, rough-and-tumble, mullet-wearing sort of halfback flanker, and you're a Scotch College boy.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it?
No, it doesn't. Where were you born? Like, where did you grow up in Melbourne? Where are you from?
I grew up in Surry Hills, so just inner eastern suburbs.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, that makes sense. Yep.
Now,
yeah.
Now, this week, how have you found the week? Have you been able to get away from the footy bubble? Have you been out on the course or done anything away from footy?
Yep. So we had a few days off last week, so we had a few nice games of golf. The weather started to turn, like I said, so bit of golf, plenty of time relaxing and just taking it easy and, you know, trying not to think about the game too much.
All right, well, let's talk about the game briefly. We'll try, as I say, it is time for you to relax and let's not talk about it too much. But I mentioned just moments ago to Rocky that when you play them at Marvel Stadium in the first half, gee, they carved us up. Their passing was so accurate and so pinpoint. How do you stop that? Is there a sort of a grid system around the ground? Can you all mind an area? Is it that zonal type defence? How have you talked about that since you played them that time?
Yeah, look, we're really aware of the way they play and the way they rebound, and they're really good ball users in their back half that get them going. So part of it is the way we use the ball and the way we go inside 50. So getting the ball in deep, getting a contest, and not letting them bounce it out of there really quickly. So that's part of it. And then when we do get them slow, forcing them into a long kick down the line and keeping them on the same line so they can't change the angles too much.
Yeah, Darcy, we've seen you as that high defender. Can you talk us through a little bit of your role within the team when you play high around those stoppages?
Yeah, so part of my role is to get up and get close to the stoppages and put more of a barrier between the opposition and the goal. So it's just like an extra midfielder that they have to come through. And then if we are lucky enough to win it, to try and get involved and get the ball forward.
Now, I'm not being funny here, but when you say high, you mean he's coming up the ground, eh? Just so for those listening, so high means
he's a lot
closer up to the wing.
A lot closer to the stoppage than the other defenders.
Okay.
We've seen the defence operate really well this year, Darcy. What did you put that down to? Is that just a Lear coming into the mix, or is there a combination of reasons? We spoke briefly before about Brett Montgomery and what he's been able to do. Give us a little bit of an insight into the team defence and the defence, how strong they've been this year.
Yeah, obviously having Alia come in, it has helped, but I think we've been a really strong defensive team for probably 3 or 4 years now, and with Monty coming in, not a whole lot has changed over that period. So we've been able to get used to a system and a way to defend over a long period of time, and I think we've become a really strong defensive team over a long period now.
I was just asking before you came on about Caleb Daniel. He often takes the kick-ins for Western Bulldogs, and what he can do is run a fair way and then kick it towards the middle of the ground. Last time they played us, they got a few over the back. That's going to be important, isn't it? I'm often intrigued as to how Port Adelaide sets up when the kick-in is coming from the opposition side, and I'd love to see us split the talls. I'd like to see a tall go to one wing, a tall go to the other wing, and one down the middle. Is that sort of setup possible?
Yeah, it's something we definitely try and manufacture in terms of, last time we played them, they did get some of their key backs out down the ground. I think Keith got a couple of balls, deep down towards their forward line. So it's something we're definitely aware of in terms of getting guys in the right positions and, forcing them wide, especially from kick-ins so that they can't rebound and go forward with any potency.
Now, Darcy, we wanted to ask on a lighter note, has there been any pranking or anything going on within the locker room this week to try and keep the boys' mind off footy the whole time? Is there anything going on?
There's been a little bit. Some idiots are putting Red Bull cans on the edge of your locker, so when you open your locker, the Red Bull falls out and goes all over your shoes and your legs. So yeah, that's a funny one. Apart from that, it's just usual pests: Butters, Houston, Rockliffe.
Rocky's involved. Why am I not shocked?
There's a rumor going around, Rocky, that you were seen at young Zachy Butters' house taking his skateboard. Any truth to that?
There's a false accusation floating around that Zach's skateboard was stolen from me, but it certainly wasn't me, but I did hear that his skateboard's gone missing this week, so it's probably a good thing to keep him off it so he doesn't hurt his knee or his ankle
very
or
good.
Lose feeling in his toe again.
Yeah.
Yeah, smart, whoever that was.
Yeah. Hey, Darcy, you've got a couple of big weeks coming up. We hope a couple of big weeks. It all starts tomorrow night at the Adelaide Oval, mate. Good luck. You're in great form. The whole defence is in great form. And, let's hope that you can line up in a couple of weeks in a grand final. Well done.
Yep, cheers, lads. Nice to speak to you. Now.
There he is, Darcy Byrne-Jones, and what a player. Best and fairest, what a player he's been for our football club.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. He's come on in leaps and bounds, and he's a really important cog for us moving forward.
Now, something we should mention as well before we wrap it up. Dan Houston, 100 games this weekend.
Yeah, an amazing story for a guy that came off the rookie list and was probably going to find his way out of off the list. He went to halfback and really found his position and made it his own. And we've seen him grow as a player, go through
what
the midfield.
What a beautiful kick.
Yeah, outstanding. Isn't he? We watched his highlights this morning and some of those kicks inside 50.
Yep.
I mean, Charlie must just... His eyes
lick
must
his
just,
lips.
Yeah. when he gets the ball anywhere from 70, 80 metres out.
Yeah. I wonder what sort of player he can turn into. Honestly, every time I see him, he's so smooth. He's a beautiful kick. And yeah, you're just wondering about 3 years from now, where will he be? What sort of player will he be? Because I think he's one of those blokes that could do anything.
Yeah, he just keeps improving. And if he keeps going at that rate, I mean, he'll be hard to stop across half back. We've seen him pinch hit through the midfield as well. So
yep.
He's an exciting player and he's going to be really important again for us tomorrow night.
All right. Rocky, thanks so much for doing this. The Rock Pod. You've got your own show all of a sudden.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. It's on the Rock Pod.
Thanks. I'm glad to be the sidekick. I'm used to that, actually. What do you see happening? How confident are you?
I'm reasonably confident. The boys have had an outstanding week on the track. So without getting too excited, I think we should walk away with the win, and I'm not sure of the margin. What do you think? You're a little bit...
4 goals would be nice.
4 goals.
Look, it's at home. We have to play well. I'm not getting ahead of ourselves. I'm not saying we are absolutely home and hose, but seriously, if we play the way we played against Geelong, I think we can beat all the teams left. But it's not easy, and I'm not suggesting we're over the line, but yeah, if we play our best, we're good enough.
Yeah, I think our best... beats their best as it currently sits.
Yeah. Good on you, Rocky. Go the power. And let's hope we can do another one of these in a week or two from now, talking about the granny.
Beautiful, Dits. Absolutely.
You've been listening to Dits and Tommy Rockliffe here on the Rock Pod.